Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For God will speak peace to His people, to His faithful, to those who turn to Him in their hearts. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Surely His salvation is at hand for those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our own land.
Of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my guide. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. All days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor.
To see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross.
Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towers of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Oh, come, Pilgrim Child.
If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the third chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What is the one most important thing our society needs? In the 2000 movie Miss Congeniality, Sandra Bullock stars as an undercover FBI agent who must learn the rhythms of the beauty pageant world. In one round of competition, contestants are asked that beginning question, and one by one, they reply with saccharine smiles, "World Peace." Then, it's Gracie Hart's turn. She hears the question and replies, "That would be harsher punishment for parole violations, Stan." The audience is silent. She then takes a beat that pops on that same saccharine smile that others have had to add, "and world peace." What is the one most important thing our society needs? How would you answer? With world peace or maybe peace on earth? These are familiar words, particularly in the midst of the Christmas season. At this time of year, we like to imagine the world as it should be, an idyllic image of people singing in harmony together in a scene best painted by Norman Rockwell. Our desire for world peace is not a new one. It is as old as the stories of our scriptures. The people of God have long been in a cycle of waiting for the dawning of the new day. Our texts for Advent connect us to their expectations for hope, peace, joy, and love to come. The prophets are full of expressions of these longings, often from a people experiencing extreme challenges. While the exact context of the prophet Malachi is unclear, many believe it was written following the Babylonian exile after their dedication of the Second Temple in 515 BC, during which the priesthood had already become corrupt and the prophet imagined a better way for God's people to live in holiness. The prophet imagines a fullness and wholeness that comes with God's people gathered for authentic, heartfelt worship of the one true God in the temple where God would reside with God's people forever. Prayers for peace in this context imagined full communion with the divine ever present. Advent anticipates this reality. As one commentary puts it, at Advent, something is afoot in God's world. There's a terrible, hopeful newness about life, terrible because it promises to overthrow all our old, comfortable, sinful ways, and hopeful for the very same reason. We know its shape, and yet we do not know it. Advent calls us to look around at the hopes that we might glimpse God's presence. In this, we express a deep-seated longing for which we wait with a relentless urgency for something to give. Emerging from the wilderness with that urgency, John the Baptist barreled into our lectionary text, quoting Isaiah and calling God's people into a new way of being for a fast approaching change in the world with the coming of the Messiah. Remember Gracie Hart's answer in Miss Congeniality? That jarring answer about the legal system? It's a response much like John the Baptist might have given. He prompts us to dig a bit deeper in our understandings of peace as we prepare for December 25th. According to John the Baptist, before we can experience the joy of Christmas, we have to reorient our lives. The Greek word for this is metanoia, or repentance. It means literally a turning around, which will likely involve us looking at the structures and the systems and the people of the world around us in new and different ways. John calls us to make a way, using words from Isaiah 40. There's construction work to be done that those places we once saw as impasses with one another might be cleared for travel. Put another way, Advent preparation is about trying to remove the obstacles that are in the way of peace in this world. The prophet's words are prayers that call us into important work. In these weeks approaching Christmas, we tend to take on that task with joy. This is a season marked by giving. This morning and over the past few weeks and even year-round, presents fill the narthex to support local mission work, especially those that are downtrodden and hungry. Volunteers work seemingly throughout the year unstop on trying to find a bit of comfortable feelings in this very unusual year. The hope of Advent inspires us to act in ways that build community and care for one another. It feels good to do good, right? We serve others. The words from the familiar hymn ring true. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. What better way is there to prepare for Christ's coming? This text also calls us to make peace with each other, which is more than just playing nice with others at a holiday party. Making a way is about seeking true reconciliation with each other. Forgiveness is at the heart of this peace as we let go of the things that bind us and keep us from truly loving each other as God has loved us. Once we can shake hands and hug necks in worship again, I want to include a time called passing of the peace. Sure, it can become a time of greeting and hellos, perhaps even catching up on each other's lives. Theologically speaking, we are greeting each other in the words used by Christ himself. And this is a good thing as we are reminded of the community that we share with each other. But there's something more at stake to this moment. We are reminding each other of the peace that comes from God's grace and forgiveness offered to us in Jesus Christ. In some orders of worship, this moment comes after the prayer of confession to emphasize that point. Because we are forgiven people, we are able to forgive one another. The passing of peace is an extension of our response to God's grace. It's our gloria embodied in worship and relationship. I think that is a powerful way to begin our time of worship because it means that we let go of those things that would otherwise get in our way. Perhaps at the door to the sanctuary and embrace another as siblings in Christ. Isn't it amazing how we can do it so willingly here, even casually and easily in this space, in this hour? It can be very easy to talk about peace, even to pray for peace, as we will do in just a few moments. Maybe it's easy because of how we begin. And I think about the gospel as it challenges us to take this idea one step further as we step back into the world. And reminds us that our understanding of peace and forgiveness should reframe everything for us. The work of peace might even take us outside of our comfort zones to do a bit of improvising. I read a story that in 1977, David Bowie showed up at a television studio to take part in a special hosted event by the legendary Bing Crosby. And he was handed a copy of The Little Drummer Boy, the song that had been selected for him. I imagine he had some face that some of you have when I lead singing. This was far from his favorite song. In fact, he refused to sing it. So frantically, composers and writers tried to come up with a solution. They added another melody and new lyrics as a counterpoint to all those pa-rum-pa-pum-pums, and they called it Peace on Earth. Bowie liked it, and most importantly, Bowie sang it. The result was an epic and epically bizarre recording in which David Bowie, the androgynous Ziggy Stardust, joined in song with none other than Mr. White Christmas himself, Bing Crosby. If you haven't already, I'm sure you'll hear this new classic tune on the radio or in a store as you shop this season. It's one of my new favorites, even though it's an older song with the weaving of melodies and rhythms throughout. What is more in a song about preparing to worship God with whatever is available to us, even a simple drum, are words of peace. The song calls us to prepare with prayers for peace woven into our actions. Promise, I'm not going to sing, but here are the words. Peace on earth, can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see the day of glory. See the day when men of good will live in peace again. Peace on earth, can it be? Every child must be aware. Every child must be made to care. Care enough for his fellow man to give all the love that he can. I pray my wish will come true for my child and your child too. He'll see the day of glory. See the day when men of good will live in peace. Live in peace again. Peace on earth. Can it be? Can it be? On this Sunday, we remind ourselves of the peace that is coming into the world, the kind that passes all understanding and truly can only come from Christ. We renew our faith in the possibilities that are endless because of God with us. In Advent, we join this prayer asking peace on earth. Can it be? Close with an amen, which means may it be so. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God who gives peace. This second week of Advent causes us to remember that because of Jesus, we can experience a Christmas free from turmoil and chaos. Regardless of our circumstances or our situations, you offer us peace that passes all understanding. That first Christmas, when you sent your Son, you sent the one who is called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Even the angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." The angels knew your purpose. They knew the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that Christmas hold. They recognized that the fullness of God was wrapped in the tiny flesh of an infant as you humbled yourself and dwelled among us. Emmanuel, God with us, as the baby Jesus, the baby that would grow to be the same God-man Jesus who would again humble himself to face death on a cruel cross as payment for our sin. He would triumphantly defeat sin and death and hell in order to cancel our sin debt and reconcile us to you, Father God. You exalted him and gave him a name above all names. Every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth must bow to the name of Jesus. The winds and waves obey him. He rules and reigns as king over all. No situation or circumstance that we find ourselves in is a match for our Jesus. We are able to have the fullness of peace in our hearts on Christmas Day and every day because that same Jesus sits at your right hand in heaven and makes intercession for us. Not only that, but he paid our sin debt. He loves us with a love that is unfathomable. Nothing can separate us from his love. He is good and his plans for us are good. Father, this second week of Advent, keep us in perfect peace as our mind is stayed on the truth of your powerful love. Thank you for your mighty sovereign hand. Help us to trust fully in you and rest in the peace that you offer. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray, as he taught his disciples to pray by saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
There be peace on earth and on
you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.